Proverbs, the first verse that we'll be looking at tonight will be in Proverbs chapter 11. If you would like to go ahead and open up your Bibles there. I brought my notebook up here. Reminder, please take notes, but I'm not going to take notes while I am preaching, so I'm not sure why I brought that up here. The book of Proverbs, and we've been, for the last 3 weeks now, this will be our third message on wealth and what the book of Proverbs has to say about it. Not just talking about a wealthy person or someone that has just an abundance of everything. You could really say wisdom and money. But the alliteration sounded a little nicer, and that's why we have wisdom and wealth, the two W's there. But really, Proverbs, it gives us just a plethora of verses on the subject of wealth. And really, as I was first beginning the series in Proverbs, if you would have told me I was going to spend three messages on the subject of money, I would have been like, man, well, what would I be thinking? But really, when I started studying Proverbs, and as you do your own study in it, Proverbs has a bunch to say. Not just about how we should view money, not just how we should use money, but even it gives principles for how we should be good stewards, even in growing what God has given to us. It gives us right and wrong ways for us to be accumulating our money. It says you can make more money if you do this, but if you grow your money this way, even while you may gain more money, that is a foolish and ungodly way to increase your finances. And so tonight, you can see that there, we'll be focusing on principles for stewarding our money. Really talking about how Proverbs talks about biblical, you could even say accumulation. And I don't like the word accumulation because you think of just piling it up, and that's not what Proverbs teaches. But that's kind of the idea of what we're going to be looking at tonight. I've mentioned many times our series title there, and you can see it on the screen right under Proverbs. It's practical wisdom for everyday living. And I hope this message tonight will be even more practical than some others we've done. This is just going to be some basic principles that Proverbs gives for us as we seek to be good stewards of our money. A lot of it will be things that maybe you are already implementing in your household or in your business. But the book of Proverbs is very practical. One person, and I think many other people have called it this as well, they kind of grabbed this quote, but he says it's Christianity in blue jeans, or you could say Christianity in overalls. You know, just the down-to-earth, practical, do this, don't do this in your daily lives. And I think we'll see that even more so tonight. And Proverbs tells us what is biblical in our stewardship. And as always, Proverbs always gives, this is how the wise person does it, and this is how the foolish person. You see that all throughout the book. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Teach a wise man, and he will increase in learning. And so it goes back and forth between the wise and the fool continually. And so tonight we'll see both do's and don'ts in managing our finances. So I have 5 points that we'll work through tonight and some other points that will be underneath. But I hope God will give us the grace to say, okay, this is the practical principles that we can then take and wisely use what God has given us. Because it does give us some very basic principles in that. Let's go ahead and pray, ask God to help us, and we'll dive in right away and look at these 5 points. Father, I pray that this would just be very practical. Lord, thank you that you don't just deal with weighty doctrine in Scripture, but Lord, you give us commands and principles to use even down to just how we manage and steward our money. I pray that this would be encouraging for us tonight. I pray, Lord, that we would examine how we have been doing and that we would change according to your word. And Lord, that we would even seek counsel in how to be good stewards, even in the financial crises that are all around us this time of year. And with the current inflation status and market and everything going on like that, we need your grace. We need your help. Give us wisdom, we pray, Lord. Fill me with your spirit as I show your word. Pray that this would be your word and not my own. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to jump right in. And the first point we have tonight in these principles for stewarding our money is we need to be making sure that we are maintaining the right focus while we are doing all of this. As I give principles from the book of Proverbs saying this is a proper way to grow your money and this is an improper way, we need to remember, first of all, that the main focus is then not for us to be focused on money, but for us to be focused on righteousness. And money is a tool. And usually I'll take the time in our introduction to go ahead and review the last week's message. But I want to go ahead and do that here because last week, we started talking about, okay, what is the wise use of our money? Because money really is a tool for righteousness. And so in our second point, we looked at foolish using, but I want to just review what God commends in using our money. He says, make sure that we give first to the Lord. Honor the Lord with thy wealth. Give of the first fruits of thy labor. Give to God first. Then he said, we need to make sure that we're providing for our household. And Proverbs honors that. Proverbs highlights that. It even goes on, and we looked at a foolish use of our money. It says, don't be someone that signs away your family's well-being and place that on the shoulder of another person. Don't be someone that is always co-signing for other people, saying, yeah, I'll cover all of your debts if you fail. Because if that person fails, then why should that leave your family in ruin? No, we need to be providing for our household. We need to be giving our money to the ones that it is due. If you're in debt, pay that debt on time. Be up to date with your mortgage payments. When somebody is working for you, make sure that you pay them. Don't withhold that. Proverbs says, don't withhold good to them that is due. But it's not just, you know, paying our rent on time, paying our mortgage on time, paying off our credit card debt on time. The Bible also goes and it shows, no, we should be doing good to all people, even when it may not necessarily be owed them. That's love. And so we give to others liberally. When we give to the poor, Proverbs says, we lend unto the Lord, and He's honored by that. And so we should give to others liberally. And then we just briefly mentioned, we didn't have a lot of time there, we'll actually mention again tonight, the importance of just living within our means. As we use our money, we're not to go and squander it on wealth. That's something that the squander our wealth on worldly goods and possessions and pleasures and everything. That's something the fool does. The proverb says that there's all of this stored up in the dwelling of the wise, but the foolish squanders it. He swallows it up. It's like he gets that paycheck and man, it's gone. He doesn't live within his means. That's not wise. So money is a tool for righteousness. As we seek to grow the money that we have, this is ultimately, first of all, so that we can be a blessing to our church and a blessing to missionaries and people like that. Give first to the Lord. Honor the Lord with your first fruits and with your wealth. And as we accumulate it, it's also so we can be a blessing to our household and to our immediate family and those people that God has placed under us, your employers that are under you. It's so that we can be on time in paying our debts off and get that taken care of, give to those to whom it is due. It's so that we can be a blessing to other people. And it's so that we can live within our means and set stuff aside so we can be more of a blessing later to more and more people. And so, as we talk about maintaining the right focus tonight, it's not a focus on money. And we've shown this before. But if accumulating our wealth is our primary goal, then people will go to all sorts of ungodly and unbiblical means to do that. It's like some people that have, and this is slightly controversial, you could say in a sense, but some people would say it is all about the gospel. And that's really sticky. Because if someone says it's all about the gospel, and man, I just want to see people saved, man, I'm going to go into the bars, I'm going to go into the strip clubs, I'm going to go into all of these places, and man, I'm going to witness because it's all about the gospel. I don't care how you do it. I don't care what you do in your church to get people to come. It's all about the gospel. Well, no, it's all about the glory of God. And if God's not glorified in my presentation of the gospel, then I'm going to go to extremes when I say it's all about the gospel and I don't care how I get the gospel out. I'm just going to do whatever I can. I'm going to start World War III so I can be on the news and proclaim the gospel to everyone. No. And so if we're focusing on money, if that is our primary target, just like the people that say it's all about the gospel, I'm going to do whatever I can to get the gospel out, even if it's not justified in Scripture. If someone says, I am focused on money, I just want to grow my money, they're going to resort to unbiblical tactics to do that. I came across one example, and there's this guy that lived in the 1970s and 80s, and he became one of the 10 most richest people in the world. In the 70s and 80s, it was estimated he had about a $30 billion net worth, which would be even more so today. There was a time in his business that he was making $420 million a week. And some of his employees he would pay $500,000 to do his work for him. His name was Pablo Escobar, and he was a drug lord in South America. And you want to talk about someone that had an abundance of money. And he eventually started trying to bribe people. He tried to bribe his government. He tried to get elected, but as soon as people realized who he was and everything, he ended up being chased for his life, and he died before he reached 50 years old. But here's someone that said, whatever I have to do, I'm going to accumulate money. And it ended in drastic measures for him that are clearly unbiblical. And we look at that, we're like, yeah, that's obviously wrong. He supplied over 80% of the world's cocaine during that time. You want to talk about a guy that had a monopoly on something, and he would pay $500,000 to his pilots to fly into the U.S. to drop off these illegal drugs because it was such a high-risk job that was illegal. If you want to make money, there are ways you can do it illegally and unbiblical and ungodly. And that's why we say don't have a focus on money. But can I give a little more relatable example? Not just a drug lord. But I've come across men, and just in my short time on this earth, you come across these people. There are men in families who view their primary responsibility to their family solely to bring money home and to put bread on the table. They spend hours upon hours at work. Even when they're at home, their thoughts are constantly on their business. How can I make more money? How can I grow this? And they spend hours and hours investing their time at work with very little to no investment in their family. And they say, and I actually had someone say this to me just recently, I've done my job as a husband, I've provided for my family, but they're completely neglecting all of the other commands in scriptures to lead the home in righteousness and godliness and to train your children. And if we're not careful, we can slip into that mindset. We'll even justify it. We may say, I'm going to spend all these hours at work so I can give to missions. I just want to accumulate money. But if money is our goal to just accumulate that, then we're going to miss a lot of other clear commands in Scripture. So we can't just have a focus on money and accumulating it. Money has no eternal profit. And we see this here in 11 verse 4. It says, riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. And again, we touched on this 2 weeks ago, but this is a good time to review it. Money has no eternal profit. And God will not let his child depend on riches. Look at verse number 28. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. And this is true for the wicked as well, but so much more for a righteous person. If God sees a child of his that starts to put all of his confidence in his riches, he starts trusting in his riches, you know what God's going to allow to happen to that person? He's going to take that away and they're going to have to run back to God. God says the person that trusts in riches will fall. God will not let us depend on riches. If you get to a point in your life where you're trusting in your riches, God said you can be sure there's a fall coming where you're going to be greatly disappointed. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 16 warns against covetousness. It says, he that hateth covetousness shall live. And so we must not have a focus on money. Instead, and we see these in these verses we just read, we must have a focus on righteousness. It's not money. And again, if we realize that money is a tool for righteousness, that's the proper perspective to have. There are so many tools for righteousness. Your spiritual gift is one of them. We could talk about that tonight. We could talk about your family and how your children are arrows that you send out and they're a blessing for the Lord. He uses them all over the world. Blessed is a man that has his quiver full of them. But we're focusing on wealth. But with all of those things, we use our families, we use our wealth, we use our spiritual gift for promoting righteousness. And righteousness is all-encompassing. You have wisdom, you have the fear of the Lord, you have all of those things. You have getting the gospel out, that's all righteousness. And so we must focus on that. It has bountiful eternal profit. You looked at verse number 4 a second ago. Riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness is what delivereth from death. First of all, through Jesus Christ. But we will have, as pastors talking about on Wednesday nights, we will have eternal rewards for the righteousness that we do through the Holy Spirit. It's righteousness that profits in eternity. And God blesses the righteous. We saw that in verse number 28. He that trusteth in his righteousness shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. And we learned that in Psalm chapter 1 as well. Blessed is the man that doesn't walk. He delights in the law of the Lord. In his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. God blesses and uses righteous people. So we focus on it. Proverbs makes it clear that integrity and a good testimony, they're far more important and valuable than riches. Again, you think of that man, Pablo Escobar. His name is completely tainted by everything that he did. He had all the money in the world, but people looked at him and they were like, man, I can't believe that guy. And Proverbs says, better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. It's better to be poor and to have integrity. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Righteousness is far better than financial well-being. And so even as we look at these biblical principles for us, as we say, okay, here's how God says we can be good stewards of, and we can grow what He's given us, we must remember and keep the right mindset that it's not all about growing and increasing our money. It's righteousness that matters. And if we get that right, then God may choose to give us more and more so that we can be a blessing for righteousness. I know of people that have great wealth and they're such a blessing to different people. There's one family that supports my family on the mission field, a good sum of money each month because God has blessed them. And He says, you know what, God has given me this. I'm going to be a blessing to these Christian missionaries. There's another family who has this house on a lake, and they let church youth groups all throughout the summer come for free. They provide food for them, they pay the gas for the boat, and it's a wonderful time. We can use what God's given us for righteousness, and God will bless it. We must maintain the right focus in doing that. So maintain the right focus. Secondly, getting into the practical ways that God says this is biblical as you accumulate more and more, and you are a good steward of what I have given you. Work diligently. This is perhaps the biggest emphasis in Proverbs, talking about the best way for us to be diligent in accumulating. Turn to Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 11. Just a couple pages over. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 11. It says here, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor, you could say gathereth by hard labor, shall increase. Proverbs chapter 21 in verse number 5 says, the thoughts or the plans, you could say, the plans of the diligent tend only to plenteous, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want. So what do we see here? Well, avoid the get-rich-quick schemes that are out there. And again, any economic book that you pick up will tell you this, but the Bible said it first. Don't be hasty. The plans of the diligent tend only to plenteous, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want. Someone's like, oh man, I'm going to put all my money there. I'm going to get all these lottery tickets. Man, I want money now, now, now. No, the verse we looked at before in chapter 13, verse 11 says, labor to get that. Be patient in doing that. I looked up and in 2016, it was calculated that the average American spent $233 in lottery tickets just in that year. Now, I didn't spend any money on lottery tickets in that year. Probably most of you in this room did. That means people are spending more than that when they play the lottery. And they lose so much money. But guess what? You know what does it? They're like, man, that $400 million up there on that billboard as I'm driving, man, that looks really good. I could use that right now. Patrick's laughing in the back because on Saturday he was bragging about what he's going to do with all his money when he wins the lottery. Of course, I should mention, he said, I never play, so I don't know how that's going to happen. But if you win the lottery, give it to the Astros. They already have it all planned out for what they're going to do with it. But, you know, we're tempted to think that way. Man, all this money would just come quickly to me. But no, we need to avoid that. Instead, work hard to have that. Think ahead. Plan wisely. Plan for the long run. Turn over to chapter 14 and verse 23. Proverbs 14 and verse 23, again, emphasizing diligence. It says, in all labor there is profit, but the talk of lips tendeth only to penury. And so I simply put the next letter, letter B, and you can write this down or you can just take a mental note of it. Get to work. The talk of lips, that doesn't do anything. We could sit here and plan and plan and plan, and that's good. We should plan. But if you never enforce that plan, you're not going to get anywhere. The talk of lips does nothing, but in all labor there is profit. Be diligent, not just to plan. Be diligent to implement the plan. Be faithful as well in our diligence. Look over to chapter 27 and verse 18. And I should have given you a warning at this at the start, but we're going to move through these points quickly. If you don't get everything down, I can share the PowerPoint slides later. But that's part of why they're up there, so you can catch as much as possible as we keep moving. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 18, an interesting proverb. It says, "Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that waiteth on his master shall be honored." And the picture there is someone that's putting in all of this labor. They get the seed or the fig to plant a new fig tree. And they work on it. They work on it. I read a little bit up on that. And from everything, you have to make sure it has the right fertilizer. If you put too much, it's not going to last. If you put too little, it's not going to bear fruit. You have to balance all of that. You have to put all this hard work into it. You have to make sure it's watered a certain way, growing a certain way. But Proverbs says, eventually that will bring forth fruit. Now, as I was looking, it takes 3 to 5 years for a fig tree to produce fruit. You think about putting 3 to 5 years of hard labor into something and not being able to actually enjoy anything from it for 5 years. And Proverbs here compares that. And he says, "Whoso keepeth a fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof." Eventually that's going to come. "So he that waiteth on his master shall be honored." Someone that's just faithful in their work, eventually they're going to get that promotion. Eventually they're going to be recognized. Even if they're not recognized by their boss, God will see that and he will reward that. "Worked heartily as unto the Lord, knowing from the Lord ye shall receive." So simply be faithful. And then we also need to be diligent to guard what God has entrusted to us. We're here in Proverbs chapter 27. Look down to verse number 23. Proverbs 27, verse 23, talking about we need to be guarding what God has entrusted to us. It says, "Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds." Be thou diligent. Look, be careful to being aware of what is going on with your flocks and with your herds. You know, they were fine for the last month. My money was doing great. You know what? I don't need to keep watching where I'm spending. I'm okay. No, it says, be diligent to consider that. Why? Verse 24, "For riches are not forever. And doth the crown endure to every generation? Just because my parents had money doesn't mean that I can count to have money. The hay appeareth, and the tender grass showeth itself, and the herbs of the mountains are gathered." 26, "The lambs are for thy clothing, the goats are for the price of thy field. Thou shalt have goat's milk enough for thy food, for the food of thy household, and for the maintenance for thy maidens." Talking about when we are diligent to consider what God has given us and to guard it, to pay attention where our money is going, then that will be blessed. We'll have our money still there. I remember after my freshman year of college, I had always lived under my parents and I had a job my junior and senior year of high school, but I wasn't having to pay for my own food or pay room and board at a college or anything like that. But after my freshman year, I remember finally getting on and opening up my bank account, which I hadn't done for probably 5 months. Not a good thing to do, by the way. I got on and I was like, man, where did all my money go? And I learned a valuable lesson. Pay attention to where your money goes. Guard what God has entrusted to you. I'd assumed, no, you know what? I've always had more money coming in than what I'm spending. But I was like, but I didn't realize, Nathan, you're now at college. You're now spending money at fast food restaurants that you wouldn't typically have done in high school. You're paying for gas and everything. I learned a valuable lesson and I started keeping track. Every time I spent something, it went into a spreadsheet. I still do that today and it's been very helpful in forming a budget. And that's biblical. That's good to have. Know where your money's going. Don't just expect money to always be there. It won't be. Guard what God has entrusted to you. Be diligent to know the state of your household. So maintain the right focus. Work diligently. And this is an interesting point, but deal justly. You could say deal fairly with all people. And this is where the do nots come in, because there are ways where you can accumulate wealth by taking advantage of other people. But the Bible clearly condemns all of that. The first point is going to be really obvious, but don't steal to accumulate your wealth. But Proverbs does highlight that. Turn over to chapter 22 and verse number 16, just a few pages back. Proverbs 22 and verse number 16. It says, "He that oppresseth the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want." Look to verse number 22. "Rob not the poor because he is poor, neither oppress the afflicted in the gate." It is so easy to take advantage of people, especially people that are lower in society, especially in that day and age, where they didn't have a constitutional government like we had said. They had a monarchy going on and not as much, you know, security. They didn't have banks. They didn't have, you know, you had to have a wall around your house. You had walls around your city to protect everything. And so Proverbs warns against, don't go and plunder people. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 10 through 19, some of the opening verses in Proverbs. Solomon warns his son against friends that say, "Hey, let's go plunder these people. Let's get all this spoil for ourselves. We're going to get rich quick." But no, we shouldn't steal. Now, I know we know this, but Micah 2, verse 2, and this is interesting. This is God pronouncing judgment on Jerusalem. He says, "They covet fields and they take them by violence, and houses and take them away. So they oppress a man and his house, even a man and his heritage." And it's interesting. I'm going to quote a lot from the prophets tonight. Because eventually, Judah and Israel, they disregarded the teaching of Proverbs and all of their commands in the Old Testament. And they started doing the very thing that God had said, don't accumulate more wealth this way. Here you have Judah doing this wrongly. And it's interesting, in Proverbs chapter 19, and verse number 26, it applies this even inside our own families. It says, "He that wasteth," or you could say, "plundereth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach." In chapter 28, that should be Proverbs 28 and verse 24. I forgot to switch the reference there. But it says, "Whoso robbeth his father and his mother and saith, it is no transgression, the same is the companion of a destroyer." And you know, I think it's probably talking to people that are around my age where they're just fresh out of the home, and it would be really easy to mooch off mom and dad. Or maybe you could do that all throughout your life. Maybe, you know, as someone's getting up in age, you have an in-law getting up in age or a parent getting up in age, it's like, oh, they don't really need this money. I'm just going to kind of take some of this for myself. You know, they're supposed to be providing for me. I really have a need. I'm just going to take some of this from them. No, that's awful. "Whoso robbeth his father and his mother and says, it's no transgression, the same as the companion of a destroyer." You could say a great waster, someone that just plunders. So let's even be careful in our families that we're not robbing. And I trust that we're not, but it's good for us to at least recognize the possibility of that. So don't steal. We're going to be dealing justly with all, but make sure we're honest in our dealings. Turn to Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 1. Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 1. And there are many, many verses in Proverbs that say this, so this will be a familiar sounding verse. It says, "A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight." And how the market would work in Israel, and really in everywhere in those times, they didn't have cash registers and barcodes and everything. They would have these scales, and grain would be so much per pound. Everything was by the pound. You think it's fun to pay for meat by the pound? Well, imagine, you know, paying everything by the pound. And so they would have these scales, and God says, a false scale, one that, you know, is giving a little more profit to the seller than they should be getting, that's an abomination to the Lord. But a just weight, really the word stone, they would take these stones and put it on the other side to measure how much grain they were buying and how much of whatever it is. A right weight, a right stone is God's delight. And so in our dealings and our businesses and everything, don't cut corners. Don't lie about certain things. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse number 6. And you can turn there. I'm going to turn there and read it. I know we've been turning a lot. 21 verse 6, it says, "The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro of them that seek death." So in all of our dealings with money, whether it's our taxes to the IRS, whether it's giving to the church, Ananias and Sapphira, they lied before God and said, "We're giving all of this money to the church." And And they look at them and say, well, you could have done whatever you wanted with that money, but the fact that you lied about it, now God's going to judge you for that. So be honest in our dealings. Talking about dealing justly with all, don't withhold payment from those to whom it is due. And we see this in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27, and that's where it talks about don't withhold good to them that it is due. We looked at that last week. But again, I said we'd be going to the prophets a lot. This is in Malachi. Again, God pronouncing judgment. God says, I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against adulterers and against false swearers. Man, that's a tough crowd. Sorcerers, adulterers, and people that are lying. But then it says, and also against those that oppress the hireling his wages, the widow, the fatherless, and turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. It would be really easy for us to accumulate wealth just simply saying, sorry, I know I agreed to pay you that, but I'm not going to give that to you anymore. I'm going to keep that for myself. No, that's unbiblical. God clearly judges that. Don't withhold payment from those that it is due. And this is an interesting one. Chapter 28 and verse number 8. We're going to take a little bit of time to explain what I mean when I say lend without exacting interest, because that's an interesting subject in our society today. Proverbs 28, verse 8, though, it says, he that by usury, and that's the word we would use for interest today, he that by usury and unjust gain increaseth his substance, he shall gather it for him that will pity the poor. And really, this is a command from God that we need to turn and look at. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 23. I think this will help us most clearly see what God means when he says, don't increase yourself and increase your money by exacting interest and exacting usury. The Israelites had a clear command from God in this aspect. And I'm going to show Exodus chapter 22. This is the first place where God commanded it. This is during Israel's time at Mount Sinai when he first gave the law. It says, if thou lend money to any of my people that is poor by thee, thou shalt not be to him as an usurer, neither shalt thou lay upon him usury. God says, when you see somebody that has a need and you have money, well, lend to them, but then don't use that as an opportunity to grow your own wealth. Just do it graciously and say, hey, when you have the time, just pay me back. Don't worry about interest. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verses 19 and 20. The command is repeated here. It says, thou shalt not lend upon usury to thy brother. Usury of money, usury of victuals, usury of anything that is lent upon usury. Unto a stranger thou mayest lend upon usury, but not unto thy brother. Thou shalt not lend upon usury, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all that thou settest thine hand to in the land whither thou goest to possess it. So the children of Israel are about to enter the land, and God says, I'm okay if in normal business transactions with just normal people in the world, you can take interest from them. But he says, when you have a brother that has a need, don't use that as an opportunity for self-advancement. Don't say, oh, you don't have the money. Well, here, I'll give you, you know, the $1,000 that you need for that car payment or whatever, but you better pay me back. You know, I'm going to charge an extra $100 a month. You know, pay that off in time. This is just going to be a regular loan like from the bank. No, God told the children of Israel, when you have a brother that's in need, give to them. Say, yeah, it would be great if you could pay that back to me at some point, but I'm not going to charge you interest. You could even say, how much better to just give them the money and not expect anything back in return. Proverbs certainly commends that. But maybe you say, yeah, I would like that money back at some point, but don't charge them interest. But Jesus himself, though, it's interesting. He made it clear that interest is not necessarily a sin. And in the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25 and Luke chapter 19, Jesus talks favorably with one of the servants just about putting the money in the bank and getting it back with interest. You know, the bank takes that money and he uses it to do loans and everything, and people pay interest on that. Jesus did not condemn that completely. But as we work with people in our church, as we work with other brothers and sisters in Christ, again, this money is from God. We should be gracious with that and say, you know what, just pay it back when you can. I'm not going to hold this over your head and increase the money that you owe me. I'm not going to work like a bank. You can go to the bank for that, but I'm a brother in Christ. Let me help you out in this way. And so that's what Proverbs mean when it talks about don't increase by usury and unjust gain. Don't take advantage of people when they're poor. You see a need in the church, if you can meet it without asking anything in return, great, do that. But if you need that money back, then just say, hey, give that back in your appropriate time. But I'm not going to charge interest to you. You get all types of complicated situations in a church when that happens. and it's not a good testimony to the outside world. So we should be gracious and lending generously with our money as we can. Again, don't put your household in jeopardy. But if God's given you the ability to do that, be gracious with that. Be a blessing to people. But don't use it as an opportunity to take advantage of them. Again, quoting a prophet, the prophet Ezekiel. Again, and this is in a context of God listing out sins of Jerusalem, talking about idols, shedding of blood, ignoring parents, oppressing the poor, oppressing the stranger, even profaning God's holy things and God's commandments. He goes on and he says, "Thou hast also taken usury and increased." And again, here's the key. "Thou hast greedily gained of thy neighbors by extortion and hast forgotten me, saith the Lord." When we are greedy and we take advantage of the people around us, God says, "I don't want anything to do with that." That was one of the things, one of the many things that God said, "Judah, I'm sorry, I'm done with you. I'm going to allow this nation to come over and overrun you." Part of it was because they were taking advantage and greedily gaining on each other. So we should not be doing that. So in dealing justly with all, we don't steal. We're honest in everything we do. We don't withhold payments from those that it's due to. We lend graciously to each other without taking advantage of an exacting interest. And then Proverbs also warns against using and taking bribes. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse number 4. We won't take long on this point because I hope we don't have any blackmailers in our church. Maybe pastor's being blackmailed and I don't know it. I haven't been here long enough to have blackmail against me. But Proverbs chapter 29 and verse number 4, it says, "The king by judgment establisheth the land, but he that receiveth gifts," or you could say the one that receiveth bribes, "overthroweth it." You have a picture of a government official. And Proverbs says a king that simply by justice and good judgment rules the land, that's a good king. But someone that's dealing under the table and saying, "Hey, I won't judge you if you give me this money." One that is accepting gifts and saying, "Yeah, I'll take that bribe. Yeah, I'll do this. You can go off for free. You can pay this money and be gone. I won't hold that against you." God says a king, a judging official, a government official that does that, they're going to overthrow the land. And so we shouldn't allow other people to say, "Hey, if you don't tell someone about this, I'll give you this money." You know, confront somebody with their sin. Love does cover a multitude of sins. Cover the sin if possible. But then deal with the sin as well. Don't let people use money as a bribe. That's not a proper way for us to increase our money. Don't use bribes. So we need to be dealing justly and fairly with all people. We need to maintain our right focus. We need to be working diligently, dealing justly. Number 4, our second to last point, and we briefly mentioned this last week, so we won't take as much time. But if we're going to be good stewards of what God has given us, then we must be living within our means. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse number 20 says, "There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up." And what's this talking about? It's saying a wise man lives within his means to where he has this stuff stored up for times of trouble. But you go to the house of a foolish man, he's already squandered and swallowed up everything that God gave to him. Again, it's like they start setting money aside. They're like, "Oh yeah, it would be good to start saving for this, saving for that." But then they just go and they swallow it up. A foolish person will not be saving. They're going to be living, spending all of their money on pleasure. If you look at Proverbs chapter 22, an aspect of this means that we should be avoiding borrowing money from other people. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 7, it says, "The rich ruleth over the poor." Then it says, "And the borrower is servant to the lender." It's just stating a simple fact that when we borrow money from somebody, you know, for a house payment, for a car payment, a loan on really anything, we're now that person's servant. We are now indebted to them, and we have this financial bondage over us, you could say. Now, it's not always completely unwise to buy. I've heard a great rule of thumb is only get loans out for things that will increase in value. You know, don't take a loan out on something that's going to decrease in value and become worthless in years to come. You know, a house mortgage, well, that's good. A house is going to increase in value. But you know, you see that nice, new, shiny, brand new car, that new car smell, everything like that, and you're like, oh man, I'll just take out a loan and I only have to pay this much money each month, and then I'll get the car, you know, in 30 years and it'll be all paid off. Well, in that 30-year time, you're going to want another new car. And guess what? That car, when it drives off, it decreases significantly in value. And I looked up a chart while I was preparing for this message, and I don't have time to walk you through it, but it was very interesting to see just how quickly cars diminish in value. When we are constantly borrowing money, and again, going back to our point, and not living within our own means, and if you're not living within your own means, that means you have to be borrowing. That means you have to, you're in credit card debt, you have all these loans and housing payments that you're paying off. A housing payment, that's understandable. But you have all of these things. Guess what? You're not free then to be a blessing to other people around you. You're a slave to that lender. You don't have the freedom then to say, hey, I have this extra money here. How about I be a blessing to this person? Debt enslaves is what Proverbs teaches. But if we try to live within our means and start setting money aside, I hear people talk about, you know, pay cash for a car and then do a car payment to yourself so that you can pay cash for your next car. And not have to go into debt in that way. Live within your means. That may mean you don't have the nicest house on the block. That may mean you don't have the shiniest new car. That may mean you may not always have the spiffiest coat or the spiffiest whatever. But if we live within our means and save, God says that is wise. And so do so many other financial people as well. But again, the Bible said it first. It's very practical when we look at it. Live within our means. And I thought this would be fitting to close with. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse number 18. It'll be up on the screen. It says, every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. And so we must listen to counsel. And you know, this is, I guess you could say, hitting home for me in a sense, because I was there not that long ago. I've only been married just over a year, you know, having to work through all this, having to work through a budget and everything. And I talked to a lot of people. I got a good book to read. I talked to my father-in-law. Talked to a lot of people saying, hey, what is a good way to go about this? Well, we need that. Listen to counsel. You can find books on every single one of these topics if you want. That'll go way more in depth than we've had time to tonight. I'm just laying out the principles. You can find books that talk about, okay, how do you work diligently? How do you plan ahead? How do you deal fairly in your business? And that's not just God that blesses. It absolutely is. But you know, you want a business that you can trust. We had our insurance agent over here the other day, and Pastor just commented how nice it was that this man was a Christian, and we knew that he wasn't going to, you know, pull a fast one on us. Someone that we could trust. Those people, you'll want to do business with them. When they're fair and they're just. Learn how to budget and to live within your means and start setting aside that money. I don't remember how old I was, but I remember somebody, and I think I was in high school. It wasn't right before I got married. I wasn't as concerned about finances then, but they said, you know, even if you can just set aside just a tiny bit every month, that's good. Set aside just a little bit and see how God can use that and God can grow that. Live within our means and save. And then be open and listening to counsel. And it even made me thankful and reminded me, you know, every December we have all the men in our church come together and we work together on a church budget. It's not just one person deciding how we use the finances in our church. I actually approached Brother Patrick, one of our deacons, the other day, just about a financial question saying, hey, are you okay if we go forward with this? I talked to Pastor as well. I got advice and counsel saying, is this something that we can do? Well, if you're struggling financially, again, we said in the first thing, the poor and the rich, that doesn't necessarily judge a person's spirituality. Someone can be rich through many mean and inappropriate and unbiblical and ungodly ways. Someone can be poor and they can still be right. Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity. Those are not oxymorons. A poor person can have great integrity. But if you just find yourself constantly struggling, go get some wise counsel. Proverbs says your plans will be established in that multitude of counselors. There's safety there. And that'll help us have freedom from our financial bondage that we so often find ourselves in. Even, you know, looking at all the different things in our government right now where, man, meat is just going up. Ground beef is going up. We just bought a pork shoulder the other day from Dylan's because it was on sale, and it was like, man, we're going to get meat while it's cheap, because it's so expensive right now. This may be a good time for us to go again, look at where our money's going, reevaluate and say, Lord, help me to be a good steward. And this isn't something we always preach on, but it's in the Bible, and God does give us great direction for it. Again, Proverbs is very practical, even just down to our everyday transactions and how we spend our money. But we must remember, first of all, that money is on loan from God. This isn't our own. We don't get to decide what to do with it. We should try to use money in this life for good, for righteousness. We need to maintain the right focus, not have a focus on selfishness. You go all the way back, and I don't have the time to flip all the way back to those slides, but last week, there was not a single point that said, and after all of that, use your money for yourself and go do what you want to do with it. No, there's nothing wrong. God wants us to enjoy the great things in this life. He gives us many good blessings. But our primary focus should be give. Give to the Lord. Give to your family. Give to the person to whom it's due. Give to others liberally. And so it's giving with our money. This isn't about ourselves. So we maintain the focus not on increasing money for ourselves, but recognizing money is a tool for righteousness. And saying, Lord, if you do choose to give me more money, I'm going to use this to be a blessing to other people. I'm going to use this for righteousness. And how do we do that? Well, we work diligently. God blesses the diligent worker. God blesses the person that is fair and deals justly, that doesn't have to cut corners to get ahead. God blesses the person that lives within their means and saves. And God blesses the person that seeks after and listens to counsel. And let's look for opportunities to use what God has given us to be a blessing to people. We have needs all around us. Needs in our church, needs in our community, needs on the mission field. Let's be watching and be in tune with those to say, Lord, I have this money. Help me to use it to be a blessing to other people. And let's be faithful in being good stewards of what God has given us so that we have the opportunity to give and to be a blessing to others. Let's pray. Father, I thank you just for how practical your word is. Lord, I pray that there would be some very practical steps and decisions made for different people, different families, different households tonight. Lord, I pray that even in my own household, that we would be good stewards of what you have given us. Help us to follow biblical principles. And Lord, thank you just for how much information we have available to us today. May we seek good counsel. How to be using our money, investing our money. But Lord, may we remember the importance of just working and diligently and watching out for those get-rich-quick schemes that are out there. Lord, I pray that you would continue to watch over our church. Lord, thank you for how you have faithfully provided for us. Help us to be good stewards of what we bring in here at Faith Baptist Church. Help us to be faithful as members to give to our church, to give to you. And Lord, may you allow us to have the opportunity to do that more and more as we faithfully steward our finances. We ask this in Christ's name. And before we open our eyes, let's take some time. You can pray if you need to talk to the Lord about anything, but even maybe just take some time of silent reflection. Maybe look back over your budget for this month. Look back over some different things that you've seen recently. Maybe there are some very practical steps that you can take, even according to these principles that God has given us. But we'll take a moment of quiet reflection as the pianist plays, and let's just ask God to help us to deal wisely in this area of finances. Father, I want to thank you for your word. And Lord, really it is sufficient for everything in our lives. I pray that we would run to it for counsel. We would run to it for guidance in every area of our life. And Lord, as we seek counsel from others, may it be biblical and godly advice and counsel. Lord, we thank you that you care about our lives. Lord, be with our church. Be with the people here. May we glorify you with how we use our money. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Mrs. Byford, what number is Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus? Let's turn to there and sing that as we finish tonight. A good reminder for us that we turn our eyes upon Jesus, and things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. And I was talking. So what was the number again? 639.